of the work is done by the other authors. I'm the least contributor, but I'll try my best to present it as Marcus would. The topic is on unsaturated hydraulic conductivity of... Okay, is this on? Yeah, the topic is on unsaturated hydraulic conductivity of aggregated soils. I don't need to remind you the importance of compaction in soils. It comes in many fields. This slide shows two examples. One is agricultural soils after the passage of a tractor. And the second one is a freshly constructed landfill. And that's compacted purposely to seal it. Because of its importance to many fields, compaction has been studied extensively by a number of researchers in different areas, and there has been significant advances made in compaction. But there remains a big challenge in relating the change in structure with change in hydraulic properties. And this research focuses on that link between change in soil structure and change in hydraulic properties. And this research makes relies heavily on recent advances that showed the importance of inter-aggregate contacts as conduits of water flow in aggregated soils. This slide shows the conceptual model that we are working with in this study. On this top corner, this is how we visualize a structured soil as a pack of loose aggregates, and then that's compressed, for example, by a passage of a tractor, and then it forms this nice cake of compacted aggregates. And we model this using idealized spherical geometry as for the aggregates, and this is the initial state, and this is a compressed state. So what we do is we calculate the change in contact areas and in the pore geometry and try to relate those changes and to change in unsaturated hydraulic conductivity. This is done in two steps. The first step looks at only two aggregates that are placed inside a cylinder and compressed uniaxially. And what is done here is the inter-aggregate contact area is calculated using simple geometrical relationships. And then we translate this change in cross-sectional area into an effective hydraulic conductivity of this aggregate pair. And that's done by rescaling the hydraulic conductivity of the matrix by the ratio of the inter-aggregate contact area to the cross-sectional area of the aggregates. A slightly more advanced version of this model takes a cube made of eight aggregates, and then we look at change in inter-aggregate contact at all the at all the contacts, and we also look at the change in the geometry and the size of the central pore. So these are the main quantities that are calculated, the inter-aggregate contact area and the inter-aggregate pore space. And then using those two numbers, we calculate the effective hydraulic conductivity of the unit cell, which is the sum of the flow through the inter-aggregate contact, the first term, and flow through the central macro pore. So this slide shows some results of the inter-aggregate contact and the relative areas for some range of axial strain. The first graph is for the aggregate pair, and as the strain increases, the relative contact area increases initially linearly, but after some strain, it starts to increase relatively fast. The second chart shows the axial strain versus relative area for the cube model. So again, the interaggregate contact area increases linearly initially, but the pore throat or the pore area decreases rather slowly initially, but then it starts to pick up. So the implication of this, I demonstrate in this slide using this three stages of compaction and water content. For this initial state, a saturated, undeformed unit cell, the conductivity is governed by the flow through the macropore. The interaggregate contact is zero, so it doesn't contribute. The same unit cell, if it's compressed slightly, still the flow is dominated by the flow through the macropore, the central macropore. The interaggregate contact area contributes minimally. And if this same compacted cube is drained so that the central macropore is unsaturated, then the flow is dominated by flow through this interaggregate contact areas. To test these models, we went back to an earlier study by one of the co-authors of this study that looked at compression of, I don't know if you can see them, these three aggregates uniaxially in a loaded uniaxially. And then these were imaged using X-ray CT at different stress or strain stages. This shows two conditions. This is the initial contact between two aggregates before load was applied, and this is at some later stage after they were compressed. These aggregates were also imaged using a neutron tomography, and that was used to quantify flow of water through these aggregates. Now, comparison between the model prediction and the measured values. On this slide, we compare the axial strain with the relative contact area. The symbols are the measured values, the lines are predictions. The red line is assuming that the initial contact was zero, but that doesn't seem to work because actual aggregates are not spheres. There is actually some contact initially. So if we apply some finite interaggregate contact initially, then it seems to work better. Then we use those interaggregate contact area changes, and if we calculate the hydraulic conductivity, both saturated and unsaturated, we find these results. The blue one is for the initial state, and then green and red are for compressions at point one, and the third, these are strains. And the blue and green dots are measured values. As you can see, compaction increases the hydraulic conductivity at all stages because it increases the size of the conduit that allows a passage of water from one aggregate to the other. There is minimal fitting involved in here, but and the match is quite satisfactory. This is a similar comparison for the unit cell. The unit cell has two components in terms of flow. One is the main macropore, which is the main conduit for flow when the matrix head is small, or when the cube is relatively wet. But when it dries, then the interaggregate contacts become more important. The match between the model and the experiments are not that great as the previous case, but at least there are two things that are matched. One for when the sample is dry, the model fits quite nicely with the measured unsaturated hydraulic conductivity of a pack of aggregates of similar soil, and the saturated hydraulic conductivity at both for a bulk soil and the aggregated soil are matched relatively well. So the conclusion of this study is that the contact area, the change of the contact area between aggregates plays an important role in relating changes in soil structure and hydraulic conductivity. And we showed using these relatively simple models that we can translate change in structure to change in hydraulic properties by looking at the change in contact area.
Thank you very much for the interesting presentation. Are there any questions?
I saw that on one of your diagrams you had the interiors of aggregates, the radius was identified. That's it, back one. How did you determine what that internal functional or less functional radius or at least diameter of the interiors of your aggregates were? I think it's back one. There. You've got radius as an alpha. The interiors of your bottom two. How did you determine where to start and stop that radius?
Would this clarify?
That's radius of the macro core. How about the interiors of the aggregates?
We don't need that in our calculations.
Okay. That must be for another study.
Yeah, we assume we know that the hydraulic conductivity of the matrix is known, and that doesn't change during the compaction.
Other questions?
Of the matrix. That came from a previous study of one of the co-authors. I'm not sure how it was done, but it was physically measured, independent of this model.